It's Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. How in the world are you today? It's Open Phone-In Friday, which means it's all about you. Anything you want to talk about is fair game.
Live from our nation's capital, welcome to Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. An expert on race, religion, and relationships, Dr. Anderson wants to talk to you. Our phone lines are now open. 888-432-7434. And now, please welcome Dr. David Anderson, your bridge-building voice in the nation's capital.
That's me, your bridge-building voice right here in the nation's capital. How in the world are you today? Wherever you are, in your kitchen, in your car, maybe in front of your computer or your smartphone, watching me on my socials. At Anderson Speaks is my handle for my social media, including Facebook Live and YouTube Live. And there are cameras in the studio here, so I'm waving at you and giving you my sideways peace sign. Thanks a lot for tuning in there. And then, of course, on the most listened to Christian talk station on the East Coast, second in the entire country, WAVA. 105.1 FM, right here out of Arlington, Virginia, covering all of the DMV. That's DC, Maryland, and Virginia, parts of West Virginia and Pennsylvania as well. So thanks a lot for tuning in. It is Open Phone In Friday. And what that means is anything you want to talk to me about, maybe you have a question for me, or maybe you want me to address a particular topic with you as we're kicking it here for the first hour of Rush Hour out of Washington, D.C., feel free to give me a call. My number is 888-432-7434. Okay? 888-432-7434. Or just remember the word bridge. 888-43-BRIDGE. Now, before we get started, let's cover our time together in a word of prayer. And we will be taking your phone calls. Give me a call now. Get right up on my screens. And anything you want to talk about is fair game. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us through yet another week. We thank you for safety. We thank you for the opportunity to communicate and connect one with another. We ask that you bless the show and cover it, guide it, and GPS it any way you desire. For it is in your name we pray. Together, everyone said amen and amen. Now, there are a couple other ways you can get a hold of me. You can always go to AndersonSpeaks.com. That's AndersonSpeaks.com. You can get all kind of information there, as well as fashion. If you want to create your own clothing line, gentlemen, you can do that. Ladies, you can do it for your man. Shirts and suits and pants and shoes. Really, really cool at very economic prices. As well as if you want to have some beautiful African Kenyan clothing, I've got a seamstress right there in the Nairobi area who can make whatever you want. Her name's Gladys. You'll see her on the website under fashion as well. That's AndersonSpeaks.com. Of course, if you want some consulting or you want some conversations to be hosted or you want me to speak at your particular conference, church, or organization, you can always go to GracismGlobal.com. There's a speaker request form there and some other information to help you understand what we do regarding faith-based DEI. I am the pastor of Bridgeway Community Church, and you might want to visit the church, or you may want to know what we do. We have virtual partnership. People watch online all over the world, or you can always visit live on campus in Columbia, Maryland, or in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland. You can find more information about that by going to bridgeway.cc. Now, like I said, today's show is all about you. We kick off the week with Marriage Monday, then with Tough Topic Tuesday, Wisdom Wednesday, Theological Thursday, and then Open Phone In Friday, which is today. So whatever you want to talk to me about is fair game. Without further ado, I'm going to give you the number and go to the phone lines. Here's the number, 888-432-7434. How about we kick the show off in Alexandria, Virginia with Doug, who's on the line. Hello, Mr. Doug. It's Dr. Anderson. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Anderson. I'm actually close. I'm from Arlington.
Arlington, okay. Virginia. Gotcha.
Well, yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fighting cancer, but God's good anyway.
Thank God for that. How can I serve you today, or what are you thinking about?
Well, in all the decades I've been dealing with racial reconciliation and in the body of Christ, rarely have I seen something so disturbing as coming out of certain, not everybody, but elements of the religious right, where they're trying to close down DEI offices. I mean, not trying to form, just close them down altogether, send a terrible message out, using woke as a weapon, using CRT as a weapon, and make it all about how white people are being mistreated. And certainly, there are cases that are made that, any group can be mistreated, but, the focus needs to be on that and not on the larger issue of racism and racial injustice against people of color.
Yeah.
And this cancer is infiltrating the church, and there needs to be a major, major pushback using the scriptures as the basis to do this.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. You know, that's why I wrote the book, Gracism. Have you seen it yet?
Yes.
Okay. Don't you love the fact that it's all based on 1 Corinthians 12?
Her mission, Mississippi, has adopted your term in his teaching.
I heard. I was so impressed. I think I met somebody at the National Prayer Breakfast, and they're like, we're from Mission, Mississippi, and we've utilized Gracism, and I'm just so grateful for that, because it really is a faith-based approach to DEI or whatever you want to call it. 1 Corinthians 12 is just the scripture, and that's what it's built off of. And if we would just live like God wanted us to, as we love one another the way Jesus did, we would be all right, wouldn't we, Doug?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So anyway, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. Is there anything else you want to say before I move on?
Nope. I'm just praying that there's a movement, to talk about what the Bible talks.
Amen.
The closest is Bishop Derek Greer is promoting a Unity Weekend again this year. So I just want to give a plug for that.
Yeah, there you go.
June, I think 8th and 9th.
There you go. Hey, listen, God bless you. Anything you can do and others can do to promote racial unity through the Word of God and definitely Gracism. It would make my heart proud, and I know it makes the heart of God smile. So God bless you, Mr. Doug.
And God bless you, Dr. Anderson.
Keep up the good work. I'm moving to my first commercial break. When I get back, I'm coming to Springfield and Pikesville, and I want to come to you. So make sure you give me a call. Get up on my screen while you can during the commercial break. My phone number is 888-432-7434. That's 888-43-BRIDGE.
Does your church have legal challenges? McCullum and Associates has experience with pastor church relations, administration and organizational issues, church liability and risk management, and real estate matters. This firm understands the legal aspects of the problems, as well as the spiritual implications of those same problems inside and outside the court. Call McCullum and Associates today at 301-864-6070. That's 301-864-6070.
When asked the question raised by her professor, "Why are you here at Omega Graduate School?" Sebla Digluhailu answered in one of her essays like this, "I was not there just to add a prefix to my name, though that would feel good. The greater purpose of my preparation at OGS is to fulfill my mandate to be a change agent. The doctoral study is a time of preparation for me to see and to think, to understand the times, and to craft my way in fulfilling my calling." Sebla Digluhailu, a current Doctor of Philosophy student from Ethiopia, is a counselor and adjunct psychology professor who hosts a weekly radio show in the capital city of Ethiopia and is an advocate for empowering women and children. What is your profession, and how can OGS help you grow to the next level in your graduate education? Dr. David Anderson is the new chancellor of Omega Graduate School, formerly known as Oxford Graduate School, and your education as a working adult is important to him, to God, and to all who will be changed in the world because of your important research. Go to ogs.edu today and apply, or call 1-800-933-6188.
Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson is not just an insightful radio talk show, but also a conversation that encourages listeners to engage in higher levels of understanding. Here's what people are saying about the show.
Dr. Anderson, I've been listening to you for a couple years now, and I just wanted to call in and say amen and hallelujah. You are on the mark.
I listen to you very much, and it's good. It's very, very good to hear your refreshing voice on the radio. You are not afraid to take any topic. You are very humble, and it's just give us comfort.
I love the radio station. My favorite is Marriage Mondays. Even though I'm not married, it's okay. I love it. I love the advice.
I listen to it all the time. I have my notifications on. I was on the show once upon a time. So I just love the advice and just the biblical sound and just stuff that he says on here. So it's amazing to listen to.
He's such an inspiration because not only does he impact the local area, but his message is so powerful that it deserves to go on a broader spectrum.
Comprehension begins with conversation. It's not just a phrase, it's a reality. Join the conversation at Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson.
Today is Open Phone-In Friday. The show is all about you. Call in with anything you want to discuss. Now back to the show with your host, Dr. David Anderson.
That's me. Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. Big shout out to Peter from Kenya, who is listening and watching on YouTube live. Thank you, sir. As well as Steve and the rest of you on Facebook Live. Hello, hello, hello. And those of you on WAVA, most of my listeners are right there, and I appreciate you. Can't wait to talk to you, so give me a call. My phone number is 888-432-7434. It's Open Phone-In Friday. Anything you want to talk to me about, it's fair game. All right, let's go to Springfield, Virginia, as promised, and talk to Ralph, who's on the line. Hello, Mr. Ralph. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Dr. Anderson, and so grateful and appreciative to have the opportunity to talk to you. I've listened to your program for a long time, and the Spirit moved me to give you a call today on Open Friday. And so thank you, sir, for receiving my call.
Amen. And thanks for listening regularly. I appreciate that, Mr. Ralph. So what are you thinking today?
I was trying to form my thoughts clearly. So I got a couple of things. I'm a pretty active participant in my community. I love the Lord, active in my local church. And I'm just curious to hear your insights or thoughts around a couple of concepts or a couple of things that are present. First, the first thing I'd like to ask you, Dr. Anderson, is why do you think that perhaps the most segregated racially day of the week is Sunday morning? Mm-hmm. That's something that troubles me a lot because it's not going to look like that.
Yeah.
But we see that quite a bit in churches, and I attend a church that's predominantly white. I'm an African American man, but I'm a product of a multiracial family, and so I find myself in that environment, and I'm happy to be there. But what I notice is that idea of trying to connect racially, cross ethnically. It's kind of uncomfortable sometimes in the larger community. And so, like, coach youth sports, and I find that in some of those settings, it's harder to belong or to feel belonging in those settings.
Right.
And so that's the second one of my points is just, what would you have to say about that experience of just trying to connect cross-ethnically in our society.
Right.
What your thoughts are regarding the church.
Well, you know, the church is probably one of the last areas that have chosen to become voluntarily integrated. So, you know, before legally segregation was the law. And so then once the law was broken down, integration could happen legally, but it didn't have to happen based on volunteer organizations, right? And so then the church is a volunteer organization. And so they have chosen to remain segregated based on culture and preference. And so until somebody can show them the word of God, that God's design and desire is that there would be a multicultural body of fully devoted followers of Christ who are moving together in unity and love, right? Until they can see that that's biblical, and that's the charge that we've been given, they're not going to do it. And when I say they, it means everybody who's a Christian. We should say this is unacceptable. If I'm in a white church and there's a black church down the street, and then there's a Asian church down the street, and they're all speaking English, they're all singing in English, who's going to rise up to say, you know what, I understand the distinct cultures and I respect them, but is there anybody who wants to see what the full expression of the body of Christ looks like when we worship together? And then the person that casts that vision, I believe, will then draw people to it. And that's what God called me to do. Back in 1992, when nobody else was doing multicultural ministry at a large scale, God called me to start Bridgeway. And now thank God that many more churches are striving to become multicultural. But if you ever get to Maryland on a Sunday, just to visit what it's like to see the beauty of over 60 different nations coming together and worshiping Jesus, I invite you to do that. So I don't have a reason for you, except we need a vision to show us that what the Lord taught us in his prayer, so shall it be on the earth as it is in heaven, that we can be an answer to that prayer when we come together and worship together as brothers and sisters across racial lines. So that vision, I eat it, sleep it, breathe it, love it. Now, having said that, you asked the second question, which was more personal, how do you connect multiculturally? Well, I think your situation may be unique if you're an African-American male and you're in a white world. Is that statement true, that you're an African-American male in a white world, or just a white church, but the rest of your world is multicultural?
The prior, sir.
The prior.
I think more so because, yes, sir, because when I find myself feeling a little uncomfortable trying to oversee young white children in a coaching concept, and I feel sometimes a little tension there from the parents, and it's sometimes strikes me as not, I don't feel like I belong.
Yeah,
or that I'm as welcome as I would want to. And so
now, do you feel that
I struggle with that?
Do you feel that way with black people? Do you have any black friends, black family that are around? Or are you strictly kind of the black guy and all white people around you?
Or mostly, yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Why is that? Springfield is not. There's some black folk in Springfield, aren't there, Ralph?
Springfield is a tremendously diverse community, ethnically. However, in certain areas, it's not. In scouting, Boy Scouting, for example, I'm an adult volunteer there. I have two boys, and they are in scout troop, and it's really hard to find ethnically diverse scouts. Scout troops and ethnically diverse baseball teams and this kind of thing.
Yeah, so I don't think that you're going to look to, I'm not trying to be pessimistic here. Let me put it to you like this. See yourself as a missionary and don't see yourself as a person who's home with white people. Does this make sense to you? If you're trying to, in other words, if you're trying to make yourself feel like you belong, but you're not getting that invitation and that welcome from all the people around you who happen to be white, part of it is your expectation. You have to look at yourself as a missionary who's been sent there to be a bright light for Christ and also a good representation of our people. I hate to put all that on you, but you know what I'm talking about. If you mess up, they're going to not know and talk about you, Ralph. They're going to talk about me. Okay. So it's a lot of weight on one black person's shoulder, but you cannot expect to feel at home unless you have white people who are diverse, who understand how to reach out to you. And thank God I have so many of them in my network that if they were a part of that community, they'd be giving you a hug and you'd be like, man, these are cool people. Now, here's the thing. I think there are a lot of cool white people probably right where you are. You just haven't identified them yet.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't mean to sound too monolithic about it. I don't.
Right.
Wanna,
it's like, not all white people or whatever, but you still don't have a sense of where's my home? How can I connect? And the only thing I can tell you is you need to get around some black folk, right? Just so you can get a sense of, I do belong to someone. And then out of that security of being a black man from his black community, I think that you'll be able to actually relate better to white people. Because to me, it sounds like you may not be home anywhere, not with the white people and maybe not with the black people. And so that loneliness is, who do I come from? You know, and if I have a sense of come from, like I got my boys, I got my family, I got some black folk who see me and make me feel like I'm somebody, then you carry that confidence into the other groups and you probably will be even more accepted because you know who you are. But I think you're sitting out there right now kind of like a stray, like you don't have your black folk you can lean on. White folk ain't saying come to my house and hang out with me. And again, you don't speak Spanish. So anyway, my whole bottom line is you got to know who you are in Christ. And I think I know you already know that. I'm on the air to connect with you, to let you know that you're not alone. You're not crazy. Don't feel like, nobody understands you because there are a lot of people, even in the reverse. You could be a white person in an all black community. You're looking to somehow feel received and welcomed, and it's not always there. And that's why we always have to find our greatest roots in our relationship with Christ. I hope I've helped you today.
Amen. Yes, sir, you have. And thank you so much. I'm a regular listener, and
I'll be your radio friend. I'll be your radio black friend. How's that?
Praise God. Praise God.
All right, man. Call me anytime, Ralph. Lord bless you, okay? All right, let me go to Pikesville, Maryland, and talk to Chris, who's on the line. What's happening, Mr. Chris? How are you?
Hey, praise Jesus. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm alive, and I'm grateful. Thanks for hanging out with me. What are you thinking today?
First, I want to agree for that brother that the first time he came on, he said he was dealing with cancer and believed that the two or three touch and agree that he would be delivered from that infection called cancer. It's a monster. And I want to see my brother delivered. And I'm just agreeing with all the radio listeners for that gentleman.
Thank you. Thank you. Secondly, that's Doug from Arlington.
Yes. Now, I've been the only individual. I used to be the only black person in the all Korean church, all African church, all white church, mixed congregation. Mm-hmm. It's not about your skin color. It's about the presence of the Most High that makes us have that koinonia, that oneness, that joy, that dunamis. So, like I said, I enjoy all. It's not about your skin color. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage him. Don't worry about this. Just start. I still got a brother I haven't seen in years. He's a white brother. We always call each other, text him in fellowship. I haven't seen him in years.
How about it?
That's the second thing.
All right, real quick, 10 seconds.
The third thing. When was the last time you cast out a devil and prayed for the sick and they got recovered?
Oh, man, I can't remember last time I cast out a devil. It was years ago. Hey, listen, I got to run. I'll be right back. It's Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson.
ojos que el cielo se ha abierto aquí, preparado para liberar. Una lluvia que estuvimos esperando por mucho tiempo, ese es el tiempo que sumergido en un río que no tiene control. Espíritu Santo, tú tienes el control. Se escucha el clamor de esa generación que pide por ti, que te quiere a ti.
So many examples that you've given, bro, to us. Came to earth in the flesh, lived for us. For me, you chose a sacrifice, died for us. Promised to help and had your spirit sent to us. Because of grace, I can now shout hallelujah. It's not about me, it's all about you. Awake your kingdom, prepare myself every day. I'm Vienna, you're the king, you're the father, I'm the clay. And I know you're coming back for me.
Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. How's everybody doing today? It's Open Phone In Friday. We have the second half of the show still right before us. And so if you want to get in, man, this is a time to get in where you fit in. A big hello to Helen Taylor on my Facebook page and Rebecca Rodriguez, as well as Janice Fonseca, Steve Bryant. Thank you so much. And Peter on YouTube as well from Kenya. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to go to my Facebook page or my YouTube page, just go to @AndersonSpeaks and you should be able to find me on all social media. On Instagram, go ahead and follow me there. On YouTube, go ahead and subscribe. On Facebook, be my friend. All right. And on Twitter, I guess, what do you do on Twitter? I don't know. Maybe you follow on Twitter. I don't know. But I think there's like 29,000 people. Get me up to like 30,000. Does that make me important, by the way? At what point are you important? This is what I love about my last caller. He's like, listen, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It's about the spirit. Thank you, Chris. That's what makes us important, is that we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter your color, your culture, your background. Doesn't matter what zip code you were born in and what education you have. And Lord knows I got a lot of it. And I don't think it makes you important. I think what makes you important is your relationship with God and knowing who you are, because no degree can give you self-esteem. All right, that'll preach. Okay, here's my number, 888-432-7434. Let's go to Poolsville, Maryland, and talk to Christian, who's on the line. Hello, Christian. It's Dr.
Hey, Dr. Anderson.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for hanging, man.
I was listening yesterday on a long drive.
Yeah,
and I really enjoyed the conversation yesterday, the topic.
Thank you.
And I also, about whether we can lose our salvation
right
once we genuinely have it.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask there was a question I wanted to ask yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to ask it, but this is perfect. I'd also been listening to the pastor, the program right before yours yesterday.
Okay.
And he had been talking about keeping company with brothers and sisters in the faith that are in rebellion and not keeping company. with brothers and sisters that are in rebellion in the faith, like not walking the walk.
Yeah.
After you've gone to them one on one, and then with somebody else, and they're so. My question is, I would love to get your thoughts on, even though despite the fact that we, you know, thank God we can't lose our salvation.
Yeah.
Once we genuinely have it, but maybe it's related to the process of sanctification. When we have somebody in our family or a very good friend that is living in rebellion, in kind of a way that's really uncomfortable to kind of something that that's really uncomfortable to address with them.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on how to relate to you gave a great example yesterday about the prodigal son, about and relating that to whether we can lose our salvation or not, and whether the father loses his love for us, even when we're astray. So
right.
As believers, how do we relate, how do you believe we should relate to family members or friends that are living in rebellion, that have strayed away from the faith?
Yeah, it's a very, very important question, Christian. I think it's going to depend on the relationship. You know, you mentioned Matthew 18. Well, you didn't say the reference, but I think that's what you're talking about. If a brother offends you, you go to him one-on-one. And if you don't win your brother, then you take a couple other people and you try it again. And if that doesn't work and they still remain in their sin, then you tell it to the church and basically treat them as an unbeliever. Right. So that's that.
Right.
That's that process that moves from private conversation to private conference to public confrontation to finally adjusting the relationship. So if they are offending you now, if they are in sin and in rebellion, like the prodigal son, what you don't want to do is you don't want to go out with them when they're partying, you know, so, you know, you don't want to be partying with somebody who's a prodigal, right? Because you're not going to help them go back home. But you can still relate to the prodigal. You can still hang with the prodigal and say, hey, listen, you should go back home. You can still be the presence in the life of a prodigal and say, you should come back home. You should go back home. You should get your life right. But should you break bread with them like you'd break bread with a believer? You know, where you have sweet fellowship. No, that sweet fellowship is reserved for believers who are in a right relationship with God. But you can still have a presence, a prophetic presence. You can still relate to them. You can still be kind to them. And I know that when we look at like 1 Corinthians 5, you know, where somebody's kicked out of the church, you know, that sort of thing, when it talks about, you know, excommunication or expelling in a moral brother, I do think that there are times if you're a part of a church body and the person's a part of that church body and they're being rebellious in that church body and they're not coming in line with the leadership of that church body and that they are in you know, a disfellowship with the pastor or people in that church body, I think then you're going to send a wrong message to still go fellowship with them if you're a part of that body. But if they're not in your church, let's just say they're in some other church, and let's just say they're a rebellious person, God can have you in their life as a presence in their life. But if you're a part of a church congregation and there's somebody in that congregation that is not right with the church, as a part of church discipline, if you're a part of that congregation, then I would say cut off fellowship with that individual if you're a part of that congregation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Because it's kind of two different situations. If you have a guy named Joe, and Joe's a part of your congregation, and Joe is not submitting to the leadership, Joe is just acting really, really badly. And everybody knows it, and he's been hurting people and abusing people and everything else. As a church congregation, if the church leadership says Joe is not walking right, he's not in good fellowship with the pastors, with the leadership of the church, then You know, what you don't want to do is go behind their back and now still hang out with Joe. But if Joe goes to a different church, all right, you know, and Joe's having issues at that church, that's a different story because you're not under that church's authority. So now you could be a presence in Joe's life to say, well, Joe, what's wrong with you, man? Go back and get that thing right. You know, so let me tell you like this. It's the difference between being in a family where the parents are like your parents are having issues. And let's say the dad goes out and he's sleeping around with somebody else. OK, so you're in the family. You're the child. So you're going to be affected differently, right, than somebody else who's a friend of that guy who can talk to that guy and say, dude, what are you doing? Go back to your house. Go back to your family. Do what's right. You see what I'm saying? So it depends what position you're in. Are you the family member that's being offended, or are you the friend that can help the guy who's rebellious do what he's supposed to do? Does this make sense to you?
It does. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
All right.
I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate your show.
You got it, my friend. God bless you, Christian. This is Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. That was Christian from Poolsville. When I get back, I'll go to Northeast Washington, D.C. to talk to Joseph. I also want to talk to you, and I've got a couple of lines open, so why don't you get it right now? The number, 888-43-BRIDGE.
To be encouraged, or do you know someone that needs encouragement? Dr. David Anderson has compiled his sermon series, Be Encouraged, into a book which will be sure to encourage yourself and others. For a donation in any amount, we'll send you a signed copy of the book. To make your donation, visit andersonspeaks.com, click on the donate button, and we'll send you your copy today.
Want more Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson? You can now catch Dr. Anderson's half-hour radio highlight show on Saturdays at 3 p.m. right here on WAVA 105.1. You'll enjoy recent conversations he's had with callers to this show. Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson, Weekend Edition, Saturday, 3 p.m. on WAVA. Check it out. For more information about Dr. Anderson, visit andersonspeaks.com.
If you're anything like me, you see all the division and hostility in the world, and you know that if you just had the right tools, you could make a difference. You could help bring some healing. You could be a bridge builder. Guided by Dr. David Anderson and the Gracism Global Team, I learned how to live and lead by becoming a positive solution in a world that's dealing with such negative problems. I went from feeling overwhelmed to being empowered. From being a bystander to becoming a bridge builder. Dr. Anderson has taken the principles of Gracism around the world, helping corporations, ministries, nonprofits, and government leaders grow in their ability to bridge the deepest divides of color, class, and culture. Through Gracism Global's coaching and certifications, you can gain the confidence and skills to bring change right where you are, whether for you or your whole organization. We're here to help you bring the power of racism into your life and leadership today. Visit GracismGlobal.com and join us on this transformative journey. We're not just fighting against racism, we're building a world of Gracism.
With Dr. David Anderson. On Marriage Monday, we talked about soulmates. Do you believe in the idea of soulmates? And if so, how do you know if you found yours? And what if your soulmate is married to someone else? Ooh. And then Tough Topic Tuesday, we talked about once married, always married. Is a person still married in the eyes of God when he or she divorces her spouse, his or her spouse, for unscriptural reasons? Yeah, that was a tough topic. on Wisdom Wednesday, we talked about the wisdom of healthy and unhealthy relationships. What does a healthy and unhealthy relationship look like to you? And in your opinion, can an unhealthy relationship become healthy? So we had a good week. And then yesterday, the theology of salvation. Can a born-again Christian lose their salvation? Why or why not? Tony Penny writes in, he says, if we could lose our salvation, we surely would. That's good, Tony. Well, my number's 888-432-7434. As promised, I'm going to Northeast Washington, D.C. to talk with Joseph, who's on the line. Hello, Joseph. It's Dr. Anderson here. How are you?
How are you doing today, Dr. Anderson? How are you?
I'm so good, man. I'm alive and grateful. Thank you for hanging with me.
Great. I was calling in reference to the question yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you lose your salvation?
Yes.
I'd like to call your attention to Matthew 12, 31 through 33,
mm-hmm.
which does speak to the fact that you can't, in terms of if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the uh-huh. Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Mark 3:28 through 30, as well as Luke 12:10, also speaks to that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. And
even if an individual blasphemes Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
They can be forgiven. However, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven even in this life or in the life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to what those three passages speak to.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. You gave some good word there. And so Jesus says, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. But blaspheming against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come. All righty.
Yeah.
So now what do you think blasphemy, maybe we should ask the question then, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? What do you think that means?
If you're the Holy Spirit is truth, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if when a person has to be forgiven, that means that they recognize that they have done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, they're now asking that they be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in them
mm-hmm.
and becomes their guide, their comforter, as it did in the first church.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you're actually denying the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as you may become an apostate.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Apostasy.
Uh-huh.
Which means you've accepted Christ and the truth, but then somewhere along the line, you do an about face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And walk the other way. There could be potentially individuals in the church that are actually working against the church.
Uh-huh. Now, since this was Jesus's gospels before he actually started the church and before the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in people, right? So the Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. dwelling didn't take place until Acts chapter 2. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit now indwells the believer forever. So if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, do you think it's possible?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible to blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you actually have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you?
See, it depends. I think there would actually depend on whether or not you were true when you asked to be forgiven.
Aha. Uh-huh. So if you've asked to be forgiven and you were true, and the Holy Spirit came into you and now dwells in you. So let's say it's true. It's not fake. It's true. You asked to be forgiven. You asked to be saved. You asked to be born again. The Holy Spirit came into your life, and now he takes up residency inside of you, and he seals you until the day of redemption. So he's in you, and he seals you until the day of redemption. Do you think it's possible for somebody that was true and they had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit sealing them, do you think it's possible for them to commit blasphemy?
No.
There you go.
If they're true.
There you go. And that's the difference. That's why Matthew 12, which is a great passage, is before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But now, once Jesus rises again from the dead and he beats Satan, and now that the Holy Spirit comes into the believer, if, like you said, if he's true and he truly gets saved, then he moves into that Ephesians 1 category where the Holy Spirit not only lives in him, but seals him until the day of redemption. And he who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glorious presence, amen, will take us all the way home. So in that case, you can't even blaspheme the Holy Spirit if indeed you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. Hey, listen, thank you, my friend. This is Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. That's me all day long. And guess what? The week is over. We're down to the end, y'all. But tomorrow from 3 to 3:30, we have a very special edition for you as we do every Saturday. So I hope that you will tune in at that time. But I'm going to see if I can get one more phone call in. I've got Bill from Columbia, Maryland. So let's go there. Hi, Bill. It's Dr. Anderson here. How you doing?
Okay, I'm fine, doctor. I got a situation that started years ago. However, 4 weeks ago, you had a program regarding a family not accepting a new member, a wife of a brother. What happened in my family, it happened in reverse, and that's why I'm calling you.
Okay. What's your situation?
My youngest brother, well, I don't know how to break through. My youngest brother's wife excommunicated herself from our family, my sister, older sister, my older brother, and it took about 20 years to finally separate my younger brother from him.
Okay.
I don't know how to go and break. I call him, and it's been 7 years since he replied to me. And I don't know how to break through.
So let me make sure I have it right. Your brother mm-hmm. and you don't have a relationship because yes. of his spouse. Is that right?
Well, that's the way it looks.
Understood. And how was your last communication when you guys did break off? Was he mad at you and said, don't ever talk to me again? Or what happened? Can you tell me in 30 seconds?
Yeah, it was something real foolish. It was over politics. Mm-hmm. And when Trump won in 2016,
mm-hmm.
he did not call me for a month, 5 weeks. I called him back, and he said, you're being punished. You're being punished. And those were the last words he told me.
Was he a Trump supporter or was he against Trump?
He was against Trump.
I understand. And so he was against Trump, but you were for Trump, and he was mad at you because you voted for Trump. And so he's saying yes. now that you are being punished by Trump winning. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Understood. Do you feel like you can have a relationship with him without the politics, or you're not quite sure?
Well, we had lunch twice, mm-hmm. three times after that, and I don't know how to say it. It was very strange, and after the last time I had lunch with him, that was in 2019,
mm-hmm.
he has not replied or answered me back at all.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it, my friend. You know, this has been a very strenuous time because a lot of people are divided over politics regarding yeah. Mr. Trump, and a lot of families have separated because of the politics here. What yeah. I would say on your side as a Trump supporter, I just simply wouldn't bring it up and let him know that you love him regardless of the politics, and try to be more pro-Jesus than pro-Trump, and I think you'll be okay. I got to end the show now with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for unity in Bill's relationship and in all of our relationships, regardless of the breach. Be that bridge, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Help your children and don't let them fall.